Now, all going to plan, we have a big summer of sport to look forward to, the Euros, the Olympics and the Paralympics. But of course, so much is dependent on the pandemic. It's a difficult time for all engaged in sport. They must remain focused on preparing for their given event. I'm joined now by Paralympics Chief Executive Miriam Malone and by discus thrower Niamh McCarthy, a silver medalist in Rio in 2016. And Niamh plans on being part of the Irish team in Tokyo. Good afternoon to you both. And to you first, Miriam, how difficult is it to plan, given all the uncertainty that there is as a result of the pandemic?
Good afternoon, John. It is a little difficult to plan, but we are really looking forward to the Games going ahead, and the Paralympic Games being 2 weeks after the Olympic Games, as you know. It is a bit of a light at the end of a tunnel for a number of athletes that have been training so dedicatedly and dedicated and committed their own lives and training to this event for a number of years. So while it's difficult for us planning wise, it's really the athletes that we're kind of focused on. And for them, that target is an essential one for them to drive towards, and a great light at the end of a tunnel after this pandemic.
So is it as straightforward as this? If the Olympics go ahead, the Paralympics will go ahead?
The both international committees are aligned. So absolutely, it's when the games were cancelled, it was both. So it's both or nothing.
Indeed. And how big a team would Ireland likely be sending to Tokyo?
We're hoping, we're still in qualification phase, believe it or not. So the qualifications keep going right up to June. Right now, we have 16 slots qualified. We hope to have a team of about 25.
And what about the additional costs involved in sending a team, given the extra protocols that are going to surround the games inevitably?
That's been pretty tough, and I'm sure the same for a lot of sports around the country and internationally. But we have an estimated additional cost of about 500,000 just due to literally COVID-19 and the postponement of the games. So huge additional costs that we're trying to cover there to make sure that we support our athletes to the level that they need to be supported for these games and for future.
And is there a dependency there on government to provide that money?
There is support. We do get support from grant aid from Sport Ireland, which we're really grateful for. We don't expect that all the funding doesn't ever come from Sport Ireland. So there's an onus on us to also try and find resources too. So we have some good sponsors and partners, but we need to go further than that to try and bridge this big gap that we have at the moment.
Niamh, can I bring you in here? How has training been for you? Discus throwing, the F41 classification is your speciality. How have you been getting on?
It's been good. I suppose, yeah, my training has kind of changed a lot in format over the last year. But currently, no, we have a good setup and it's going well. Once the weather clears up, I'll be able to get outside a bit. But other than that, thankfully, despite the level 5 restrictions, I've been able to continue training, which is a massive help and makes a massive difference.
And what has the setup been?
So, well, at the moment, I'm in the Leavale Athletic Club High Performance Centre. So they have a full gym set up in there and they also have an indoor throwing cage. So, yeah, 5 days a week I'm in there and I'm able to do, you know, all aspects of my training at the moment there, which is, you know, ideal, especially in Cork where, you know, facilities are kind of harder to come by. So that's been an absolute godsend for my training.
Sure. And I should mention you're a native of Carrigaline in County Cork. And have the standards risen since Rio?
100%. Yeah, it'd be much easier if they didn't. But no, everybody's moving on. I mean, I suppose that's part of the thing with Paralympics versus Olympics, because, you know, it's only been around for, you know, however many decades as opposed to Olympics. There's always progress being made, and especially with technologies for other classifications, you know, such as when there's throwing cages and blades and stuff, there's always advances. And even in my own throwing class, I mean, yeah, the girls are always doing well. So they're always someone to keep an eye on.
Well, what about motivation? Because there is that doubt that the Paralympics will take place. Does that impact on your state of mind, let's say?
100%. I mean, I think last year, before it was actually proper called off, it was very kind of uncertain about, you know, what are you doing? Like, and you're kind of thinking, am I wasting my time? Is it just going to get cancelled or what? But this year, like, to be honest, I've been through that uncertain times in my head before last year. This year, I'm working at it as if it is going ahead. If it doesn't, I'll deal with that when it comes. But for now, I'm just telling myself it is going ahead. You know, you have limited time to play with here, so get cracking, really. I don't have the mental energy to be kind of worrying about things I have no control of.
Sure. And I'm sure you have medal ambitions. What's the opposition like? I mean, are you dealing with half a dozen people who have the ability to take you on any given day?
Realistically, I suppose it's hard to say because rankings and everything haven't really existed for a year or so, but there's three of us that are within, you know, close enough of each other. So there is going to 100% be a fight for every single colour of medal, really, because I used to be a bit more apart from the crowd with one other girl who was then miles away from me, but it's tightened up a lot more in the last year or so. And I know that they've already competed this year. And obviously I haven't, so it's the only kind of difficulty is, yeah, my aims right now, it's very hard to say because I haven't thrown outside and I haven't competed, you know, in so long. But ideally I'd like to be coming around with another necklace, like.
And will you be able to compete before the Paralympics if they do go ahead?
Yeah, I think there's a few competitions potentially planned in May. I mean, there are some abroad, but it's so difficult to organise these days. I mean, before you could just hop on the plane and go off somewhere, get your competition done. But obviously there's a lot more involved in trying to do that these days with approvals and tests and all of this. So, yeah, there's a few home ones that are TBC for now. But May, I believe, I should have a couple of chances and potentially again after that, including the Europeans in June.
Right. So hopefully you'll have an opportunity to some serious practice in a competitive arena for the Paralympics. Miriam, there must be concerns though around the safety of people around the world gathering in one city, even allowing for all the planned safety protocols.
Certainly, the safety of the athletes and our team and all the staff and all the volunteers that we have involved is our biggest priority for ensuring that we have a safe setup going to the Tokyo and going to the Paralympic Games. But we have been given huge assurances by the Japanese government and by the organising committee of all of the protocols they're putting in place. So we have to rely on those and also ensure that we put the best practices that we can put in place, because it's all about ensuring safety, but obviously giving these athletes like Niamh and many others who have committed themselves to this to provide them with that platform at a world level.
Of course, it is inevitable that family members of the athletes, the para-athletes, will not be able to attend.
It hasn't been confirmed as yet. So we're still waiting to hear back from the organising committee. We hope to hear by the end of this month or early in April exactly what their status is on spectators. So we're waiting to hear that and planning kind of around that for the moment, John. So we await to hear the final outcome of what that will be.
So you don't know for sure what the story will be. There's, I suppose, speculation that you know, when it comes to fans travelling from abroad to Tokyo for both the Olympics and Paralympics might be a serious problem. Tell us about your campaign, The Next Level, Miriam.
So we've just launched a fundraising campaign called The Next Level. The campaign is about giving para-athletes full credit for their remarkable level of achievement and performance. And as Niamh had said, the competition that is there has hugely increased at world level for Paralympics. There's a huge increase in the resources that's going into different teams to help them strive and achieve at that level. And we want in Ireland to be able to ensure that we keep up with that pace and facilitate our athletes to achieve that next level as well. Just because of COVID-19 and the games being postponed, we have an immediate need for funds. We know we have amazing Irish supporters. And what we're asking the support of the public to help Paralympics Ireland, to support Ireland's current and future para-athletes to achieve their dreams, by going onto our website, it's paralympics.ie, and helping us by donating there whatever they can. This will help. We strongly believe that role models are needed for everybody. Everyone needs a role model. People with disabilities need to see role models, and the likes of Niamh, Jason Smith, Michael McKillop, Ellen Keane, Nicole, all of those different athletes, they need to see those role models too. So this campaign is about these current athletes, but also the future generation of athletes and people with a disability in Ireland who may see these athletes as their role models to come forward. So we want to be able to support them, and we'd love the public's help and support to do that.
All right. The website, as you say, paralympics.ie. So 16 qualified thus far, and you're pretty confident, Miriam, that number can be increased to 25.
We will increase beyond 16. We know right now some of the challenges, John, are the qualifying competitions that Niamh had mentioned. So some of those have been postponed. So for the competitions that go ahead, we will get more athletes qualified. But also we have world rankings. So some of our athletes are at top world rankings at the moment. And it just depends on the closing date where they rank in the world if we get extra slots. So we anticipate we'll certainly have 20, and we hope for about 25. We have five sports qualified right now, six sports actually, and we have another five or six that we're hoping will add to that tally.
All right. And Niamh, you mentioned it's a five-day week for you. How many hours a day?
An hour and a half, 2 hours for each session, pretty much.
Right.
And then there's a double on the Friday. But it's a lot. I mean, I also work part-time, but thankfully I'm kind of done by 1:30 and then I'm straight out the door, off to training, really, so I can dedicate the whole afternoon. So, yeah, sessions can go long at times, but I'm prepared to do that.
It's what's needed, I suppose, given what you say about the competition closing the gap. And you give yourself the weekend off, though.
I usually tend to have to do something. I have to keep my step count up at the weekend. I actually got a skipping rope there the other day, so that's my new weekend plans, to do a bit of that, because I'm not much of a walker at the moment.
I see. Well, given the effort you're putting into it, let's hope they do take place, because it would be terrible to think that all your effort at Lee Vale and elsewhere wouldn't go to good use come the summer.
Well, if it doesn't go ahead, there's still the World Championships and whatnot next year, so... You know, it won't be wasted effort. It'll just be spent on a different competition potentially. So I don't mind.
All right. You're of an optimistic disposition. Niamh McCarthy, a silver medalist in Rio in 2016, and Miriam Malone, Chief Executive of the Paralympics. Thank you.